The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by BetMGM. It is Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin in the house, producer number nine. We get tweets, Kelly. These are fantastic. It's the best part of this show is with people reacting to every everything. This is a daytime degenerate. He says, "Is Magic Mike Mike Awida?" That's my feelings exactly. Daytime degenerate. I was having trouble following it.
I don't know who that guy is.
Screaming A. Smith. Gil, can John repeat that? I was trying to write it down.
Yeah, we'll run it back. We'll run it back. Let's go get a sandwich, Gil.
All our podcasts are available, of course, at visa.com/podcast. And for every show, Pounder. He says, please tell John Legesa to do a little preparation next time he comes on the show, could you? This is from Mike Rouse. Gil, is that the longest you've ever gone without talking during a segment? Listen, I don't want to be rude to the guests, him and Dr. Bob, my God.
Both of them, I mean, to the one guy's tweet, both of them probably prepare more than any guest we have.
Totally.
I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm going to try to think. But they are very prepared with their notes, so Gil and I don't want to step in the middle of it.
Listen,
sometimes.
The real truth is, after that first segment going through the Raiders-Rams play-by-play, I felt like Kelly and I needed a couple segments off. I felt like we worked a little harder. We'll come back here in the next hour. It's just unbelievable, those two guys. This is our pro tip of the hour. It was so much that we couldn't even get our pro tip in, for goodness sake.
This is Legesa-based, though.
It is Legesa-based. Legesa-based. Sounds like something you cook with. It's Legesa-based. Really? I prefer the different diet. I prefer tomato paste. If betting underdogs in the NFL, consider betting a piece on the money line as well. In 2021, only 39 times did the favorite win but didn't cover the spread. Dogs won outright 36% of the time last season, and this year it's even more. Oh, Kelly, doing a little research.
I was back here crunching numbers, man.
Look at you.
And Googling articles, but yeah.
It's our pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, or you can sort them by sport and by show. Listen, I didn't want to be rude. It's really where it comes down to. All right. Kelly and I have football picks. But before we get to our football picks, first of all, 0-0 halftime between Croatia and Brazil. I would have loved to have had a goal, at least one in the first half, Kelly. Not so much.
Yeah, I'm going to start turning into obnoxious soccer fan, Kelly, where it's like, shoot the ball! Shoot it more!
Shoot the ball.
Stop your cute little passes within 15 feet and shoot it!
That is kind of how I watch hockey, though. I'm like, shoot the puck!
All right, well, see.
Because
I think we're justified thinking that way in hockey.
In hockey, everything's a rebound.
Everything's
score.
A rebound or a deflection or...
Yeah. All right, but you have
deflection.
What was that? What did you say?
Deflection.
With your arm.
No, they do that with the stick, and it's like hit it off their own stick.
You're doing a dramatic whisper. Deflection.
Yeah.
You have basketball picks today, right? You got stuff.
Oh, I do. Yes, I do have a few NBA bets tonight. I added a future last night as well. We might discuss a little bit later. I've got four bets in the association tonight. Clint Capella over 24.5 points and rebounds. The Hawks are in Atlanta tonight. Atlanta, since November, the worst offensive and defensive rebounding team in the league. This is just a bad matchup right now for Brooklyn. They Nick Claxton, really about the only big that they roll out there. Ben Simmons expected to be back in the lineup tonight. So I like over 24.5 points and rebounds for Clint Capella. The Magic, I'm going back to this one. Drew and I got away with a winner on this the other night on Wednesday. Raptors 3-9 on the road. It's kind of a team I've been keying in on when they've been on the road. 3-9 on the road this season. Magic, if you just look at ATS, they're 8-6 ATS at home. They did lose last weekend to the Raptors, so if you kind of like revenge angles, I guess you got that going on tonight. Orlando, just a brutal stretch, too. If you go through some of the opponents that they've played last 10 games, it's some of the best teams in the league. They are 1-9 in that stretch. I will give you that. But they did win outright against the Clippers in that last game. So I like them at home. You can get them about at +8.5, +8 right now. I think that's still a good bet. The Pelicans, I took +3 this morning. I have no idea why that line was like that this morning. It is starting to come back down. I'm seeing it. Suns 1.5 right now, it looks like, for this game. This is wrong team favored by my numbers. Pelicans should be more like 1.5, 2 on this line to me. So I'm going with the numbers that I have for this game, and it's a little off. Suns coming off that beatdown by Milwaukee the other night. So, I expect a better effort for them tonight in New Orleans. No Brandon Ingram for the Pelicans. But I still – it's a couple points off, Gil. I think there's a wrong favorite in this one. So, I'm playing it lightly early, played the Pelicans, and then I'm going to look to probably get in live on that game as well. And then the throw-out the numbers game, I'm playing the Bucks tonight in Dallas. Dallas been playing really well lately. If you look at anything – statistical-wise, it would point towards playing Dallas in this game. But Milwaukee finally has Middleton back. All their guys are healthy. Go in there, much deeper team, much more talented team overall than the Dallas Mavericks. So I like the Bucks heading into Dallas, and I just played the small -115 money line on the Bucks tonight.
All right. The National Football League, week number 14. Kelly and I were trying all day yesterday to get this in on the show, but we got to talking, and things got away from us.
Yeah, we got to talk about stuff.
But here's the deal for my NFL season. The first 9 weeks of the NFL season, I was pretty spectacular with the picks. And I was crushing Wishnev and Parles and the guest chair on the Megapod, on the Beating the Book Megapod, wherever podcasts are distributed. And then the last 4 weeks, Kelly, how can I describe my performance? Horrific. So anything that could – no, here's the thing. I got a lot of the Plinko stuff going my way the first 9 weeks, admittedly. Well, it all came back. You know, it all came back at me these last 4 weeks. So this has not been a good stretch. And so in that vein, here is, with that sort of as a backdrop, here are my three picks. Here are the three bets I've made already this week. And do I feel great about them? So I'm on the Steelers. The Steelers as a favorite here, giving 2.5 against the Ravens. Do I absolutely love the pick? I do not. But I made the bet because I really do feel that the Ravens have been just skating by.
Yeah.
Smoke and mirrors.
Me too.
It is Tyler Huntley instead of Lamar Jackson. But the Steelers...
But that's a big thing, Gil. Right?
It is a big thing.
We're both on this side. I didn't trust the Ravens with Lamar in there. Now you're telling me it's Lamar to Tyler Huntley, which I think is a massive drop, which I think might be... You take away Josh Allen and Mahomes, it's probably just from starter to backup about as big as it gets in the NFL to me, from Lamar Jackson down to Huntley. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so. And I don't think Huntley's bad. They just you design your entire offense around what Lamar Jackson does. And I know Tyler Huntley can do a lot of those same things, but not to the same level. So, I like the Steelers this week. We're both.
I bet them. I mean, I clearly like them enough to bet it, so I like it some. You make a more passionate speech than I do. Can Kenny Pickett step up against this Ravens defense? We shall find out. So I like the Steelers, again, just fading what the Ravens have been able to get away with more than anything as Mike Tomlin tries to get to 500. Got to go 3-1-1 the rest of the way.
Never had a season where he's finished under.
What?
I know.
Wow.
Shocking.
Boy, we should really keep that stat to ourselves and not tell anybody else.
Use that for our betting purposes.
Make sure to have ANG logos all over that stat. Eagles -6.5 on the road against the Giants. I believe the Giants are the single most smoke and mirrors team. That is not a unique thought, but I've thought it forever. They should feel fortunate with the tie last week. I got the 6.5. I will take the Eagles. It was really amazing watching the Giants catch Washington last week. Everybody's saying Brian Daboll's this great coach. Their offense is reduced to this. When they need yards, they're like, Daniel Jones, just tuck it under. See what you can see. See if you can get any yards. It's not Saquon. It's him. It's their whole offense.
Well, if Barkley's not working, that's what the whole offense turns into.
It's amazing. So I got the Eagles. I'm laying the points. And I'm also laying the points with the Bengals. Now, do I feel good about taking three favorites? I do not.
Yeah.
But the Bengals here, they got smoked by the Browns last time. I got them at a less favorable number than exists now. The 5.5 I really like. So I'm going to hold my nose and play three favorites, which honestly is not really how I feel comfortable this time of year. I think your instinct ought to be to play dogs, but that's how the cookie crumbled. As I still try to get to 60% in millions, I can't quite get there. And so until you get to 60%, there's no reason to even talk about it.
Yeah, not a bet for me on the Philadelphia one, but that will probably be a circa millions play for me this week. Like, it's right on the outside looking in. I think you're right. I know you're talking about a road division favorite. I think you're still on the right side, though. The Giants just...
They're not good.
They're not good. Yeah, they're not good. Limited options on offense. I don't think Saquon's going to run all over the Eagles. I know we've made a big deal about their rush defense in the past, but that's been bolstered a little bit with some of the guys they've brought in. I like that one. As far as what I'm on this week, I'm opposite Dr. Bob. I laid three and bought the hook with the Titans. I think this Titans team plays up and down to their competition probably more than any team in the NFL. I think when they have the capability to run Derrick Henry.
Their record corroborates that, by the way.
Yeah, when they have an opportunity to run Derrick Henry against a team that isn't particularly great on the with a rush defense, okay, they usually beat up on the bad team. So I think Jacksonville, I understand Jacksonville has been one of the most disputed teams seemingly between NFL handicappers all season long. I think they're not that great of a team heading in here, and I'm not just looking at last week. I think that Derrick Henry's going to be able to run on this team, and they're not going to have to do all that much more. If you followed my NFL betting or heard me talk about the Titans ever, you know this is not a team I'm not usually very high on. Yeah. So I think them laying three, that's a pretty big bet for me this week, actually. I'm on the Steelers -1.5. Caught that before kind of the move we were doing while we were sitting here on guessing lines on Monday. So I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on the Bengals. I
way
got 4.5
number.
On that
way
one.
Way better, yeah.
Played team total over 26.5 on that, too. Browns not with that great of a defense. I mean, the other thing, if we want to play trends and all that stuff, too, Gil, the Bengals have never – Joe Burrow's never beat the Browns, right? He's turned the ball over every
Stop
time.
Stop it.
That stops. I like having that on our side than against it. Like, I think they're going to fill it up against the Browns. I did play early in the week, I played a 6.5-point teaser on the Vikings and the Chiefs when the Chiefs were still at 9. Took them down to 2.5, Vikings up to 7.5, and then just put my Vikings money line bet in. +115, a little smaller this week. I'm not as bullish on them, but I'm sticking with them because the line's still off.
All right, what if the outcome of every one possession game thus far in the NFL this season was reversed? What would the standings look like? Wait till you see this next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets and bowl guides.
Oh, is that right? What about the bowl guide, though?
About it, Gil.
Picks on every bowl game, power ratings for every team, bowl betting strategy. It's all at VSiN.com/subscribe. No, for real, the bowl guide is stupid good. People still say that? Do they say something that's stupid good, or is that just me?
I mean, probably me, but yeah.
I mean, we
who
got
else matters besides me and you?
Steve Mackinnon with the power rankings in there. Josh Applebaum, insight into betting strategy. Adam Burke, if you're in bowl confidence pools. Every pick on the spread and total of every bowl game, and Brent Musburger's in there as well. It's your VSiN College Football Bowl Betting Guide at VSiN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, by the way, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Michael, who's a new listener, Kelly. Mike, 4561.
How are you?
He says, I hate it when you have guests with no opinions. Legesa, I'm a new listener and I love the show. Thanks, Kelly and Gil. Well, thank you. It's very kind of you. We got to look at this before because Kelly has, we have some basketball futures we want to look at, and maybe some NFL as well. But I noticed this, or I didn't notice this. I shouldn't say I noticed it. Someone sent this, and shout out to whoever did, and I apologize for not remembering who put this in the Twitter feed. But they called my attention to a gentleman by the name of Kelly Ford. Kelly Ford, who spells his name the same way you do, Kelly. And I thought for a second, does Kelly have a burner account?
Is he doing sure, it's a gentleman?
Oh, maybe it's not, because you have a very unisex kind of name.
It's probably not.
Is it probably not?
But a lot of people that get to know me have the same problem you just did, where they're like, you've screwed up the name Kelly for me for life.
Yeah, it's your fault.
It's like every time I hear Kelly now, I think a guy, and no, it's
all
not.
Right. Well, whoever Kelly Ford is, at K Ford Ratings, this was a really interesting exercise. What if every one-possession NFL game had the opposite result? It's a great lens through which to look at the standings and make you really causes you to rethink how you or reconsider how you think about all these NFL teams. Here are the headlines. The top six seeds in the AFC would all be 8-4. And the Vikings, most famously, would be 1-11 and eliminated from playoff contention, as we've talked about many times. It may seem crazy, Kelly goes on to say, but we might just be a few bounces of the ball away from this reality. What if? Do we have the graphic of the standings? This is fascinating. Look at this. So there are the six teams in the AFC on the left. This is before last night, by the way. So the Raiders would actually be 9-4, I guess, after that performance last night, based on this. So the Raiders would actually have a half-game lead on everybody.
Right, yeah.
The Raiders would be 9-4. But the Browns, Jags, those two teams would be 8-4. And perhaps most notably, Kelly, the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs would still be good. They'd all still be 8-4.
Those were the ones that jumped out to me as well. Maybe not the Ravens as much, but the Bills and Chiefs, right? You almost don't even need to look it up to be like, well, why are they still good? Because they don't have that many one-score games, right? They're beating up on people.
That's right. The Bengals would also be 7-5, but so too would the Broncos. Just keep in mind, those Broncos stats that we threw out this week on Guessing Lines and on the Megapod yesterday are among the most incredible things. Again,
they really are.
If the Broncos had scored 18 points in regulation in all 12 of their games, right, they're 3-9 in real life, they would be 10-2. And the other stat that we threw out, and I want to get this, just to put the Broncos in context.
The one I can't get over, Gil, is we keep seeing this Broncos season play out in front of us. Every week we update these ridiculous stats, defense versus offense for them. And all I keep thinking about is, imagine if you could go back in time, you had a time machine, mm-hmm. and you were able to go to the Broncos front office personnel in, like, what, late February? And you're like, okay, this is what your defense is going to look like next year.
Yeah.
And you have Russell Wilson as your starting quarterback. They would be making Super Bowl plans, celebration plans then.
Yeah,
the fact that Russell Wilson and this offense have been this bad still blows my mind.
And we had that other stat where there's only been, in 57 years of the Super Bowl era, there have only been 70 teams through 12 games that have performed as the Broncos have defensively. And of the previous 69, no one was worse than 6-6, and the average win total was 9.04. So if we do the what-if NFL standings again, what if every one-possession NFL game had the opposite result? Fascinating results in the AFC. And by the way, at the very bottom of the AFC would be the Dolphins at 4-8.
I think their season with some of this stuff would be discussed more, I think, right, if the Vikings weren't around. If like teams like the Vikings and the Raiders weren't around, I think we would talk about this more with the Dolphins.
It's a shout out to Kelly Ford, though, because it's a great – I really do think – listen, is it – we don't have context for every game. We're not parsing it down to which players played in every game. Obviously, there were circumstances that were unique in every game. But just as a sort of macro lens through which to look at it, it is really fascinating.
Oh, it's really interesting. I think it also gives you an opportunity to think about – different teams and style of play and how much that matters when you see something like this too, right? Like that's like the Titans I was just talking about, me being on the missing. Well, think about what they want to do as an offense and as a team. Mm-hmm. They want to play good defense and run the ball. They don't care if they have one score games, they don't care as long as they're winning.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So you see these kind of things and it makes it interesting to think about how teams operate compared to each other.
And in the NFC, the Niners and the Lions would be atop the NFC at 8-4. The Lions would be there. Falcons would be 7-6. Remember, they lost a ton of one-score games this year and now have basically waved the white flag with Desmond Ridder playing next week. And there are at the bottom are the Giants at 2-9-1 and the Vikings at 1-11. 1-11.
Whew!
Aaron Schatz will join us momentarily. Let's find out where in DVOA he has the Vikings ranked. It is going to be low. How low? How low can they go? Death row. What a brother, no. We'll see how low he goes momentarily. All right, Kelly, NBA, interesting start to the season. We don't want to delve too far into this, but you have some bets. Because the Celtics and the Bucks clearly ruling the roost in the Eastern Conference. The West is more of a free-for-all. You have bets here? You made one.
I did make one bet last night. I was trying to figure out why we're cheering the Brazilian fans, but nothing. Substitution. We're cheering a substitution, apparently.
Nil-nil, 64th minute as the...
Shoot the ball!
from midfield.
Steph Curry range, shoot the ball. Yeah, I think just from a macro sense of the NBA, Gil, like, we're kind of just taking a macro look at the NFL too, right? Here's what, if you haven't watched anything in the NBA season so far, here's your update. The Celtics are world beaters right now and by far the best team in the NBA. They have one of the historical best offensive ratings in NBA history so far. Oh, and Robert Williams is expected back in the lineup in the next week to 10 days. This team has been incredible so far. They have one of the best duos in the NBA. There is no reason why you should see them drop off from what they did last year to how they've started the season this year. They're going to be right there. Is there a bet to be made? No, not at the numbers of 3-1, but that's the right price on the Celtics team. Not far behind them in my book is the Bucks. They've done it record-wise so far as well. Adding Middleton back, to me, they are just one notch below the Celtics. And then there is a big drop between those two teams and everybody else in the NBA right now. I did make one bet in just to win the West. I made a bet on the Pelicans. It's a team I've been high on since the preseason.
I thought you already had that bet. That's interesting.
My biggest preseason future was over on their win total.
Oh, okay.
Didn't have a Western Conference bet or anything like that. Yeah, so I did add it last night. 13-1 I was able to find here in town. On the Pelicans. Look, the West is a mess right now. You got the Warriors. Warriors having problems to stay, with their team kind of out of the gates here. Do I expect they'll be there at the end? Yes. Do I expect the Clippers, as long as they stay healthy, to be there at the end? Yes, I do. Besides that, it's pretty muddied in the West. And the biggest pleasant surprise by the New Orleans Pelicans so far is that they have, since the start of November, Gil, the second-best defensive rating in all of the NBA. That is something that I didn't exactly expect with this Pelicans team, and this is why I'm shoving even more of my chips in the middle with them this year.
Shove.
Even with Brandon Ingram out, this team's still playing very well offensively and defensively, and we know when you get into the playoffs, that defense really matters. And not only that, they're a team that can go about 8 or 9 deep, Gil, that is strong. 8 or 9 deep. You get a lot of teams in the NBA that got a great starting five, their bench really falls off, or maybe they're pretty strong 10, 11 deep, but you don't have that star power up front. McCollum, Ingram, Zion, Valanciunas, Herb Jones, one of the best wing defenders in the NBA. This team's got a lot of talent in that starting lineup and a lot of talent they could bring off the bench. Don't sleep on the Pelicans in the West this year.
Is that Bobby Brown, my prerogative, Janet Jackson control mic for the people downstairs that you got on your side there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, this was downstairs. I had to flip it up, though. It was getting in the way.
You see that game last night? Dame goes for 30, but Jamal Murray with the buzzer beater.
Oh, it was part of the legend of last night in sports. I watched NFL, and then I mean, I had that game on the other TV, but I turned up the volume. Dame time was going off, and then Jamal Murray stuck it back at him with 0.9 seconds left on the clock. A 3 to win it.
Nuggets 121, Blazers 120. Blazers get the cover, though, as the Nuggets were favored by 2 in that game.
Oh, yeah. If you were on the point spread in this game, whew.
Just play the money line.
I'm pretty sure there was about one missed shot in the final 2.5 minutes.
It was just nonstop makes. Aaron Schatz, pioneer in football analytics, joins us. Where do the Vikings rank? That and more next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets. Check out the bowl guide, too.
I knew we'd get around to it eventually. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This gentleman is kind enough to join us each and every quarter of the National Football League season. Can't wait for the pre-playoff, post-season segments that we'll do with him in some time. But now with the 17-game schedule and buys, it's tough to sort of hit the quarter pole exactly, but we sort of estimated it today. So Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders joins us, the pioneer in pro football analytics. How you doing, Aaron? Great to see you, man.
I am good. I'm recovering from last night's shocker.
Unbelievable. We were asking the question that I'm sure everybody else was, which was, what was more amazing, Monday night or last night? And I think the answer is resoundingly last night, given the circumstances, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tom Brady has played with these players for 3 years and came back.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Baker Mayfield has played with these guys for one day and had no timeouts. Like, Brady had timeouts, I think. Like,
he had one.
Mayfield had
yeah.
no timeouts and came back and won that game. Astonishing.
98 yards. Astonishing is right. And we went through every Raiders gaffe earlier on the show. Just it is shell-shocking, that performance last night. 17-16, the Rams win it, and the Raiders' playoff hopes dwindle to mathematical. That's it. Okay, Aaron. Quarter poll, baby. Let's talk about this. Give us your top five DVOA overall. What do you got?
Our top five teams right now in DVOA, number one, Buffalo, number two, Dallas, and number three, Philadelphia. And those are clearly the three best teams. And in the weighted ratings that give more weight to recent games, Dallas actually is number one.
Really?
But those are the three best teams, clearly.
And Dallas, one would immediately say it's driven by the defense. Is there something else we're missing there?
No, they're the number one defense. I mean, the offense has gotten better since Prescott got back, so that's why they're number one in the weighted rating. But, I mean, they're driven by their defense, which we have at number one.
Okay, for giggles, let's go four and five. What do you got there?
Four is Baltimore, but they're fading a little bit in recent weeks, and obviously the Jackson injury is a trouble for the next couple of weeks. Five is San Francisco.
How do you handle the quarterback uncertainty in both situations there, Baltimore and San Francisco? So you just mentioned Baltimore fading. What do you do with San Francisco?
Yeah, the San Francisco one is tough because of the sort of belief that Kyle Shanahan can overcome a quarterback change. Yet at the same time, the fact is, historically, Garoppolo has been much better than the other quarterbacks in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to determine how much they lose by going to Purdy is really difficult. With Baltimore, it's easier. Like, we have a history of Huntley. We've seen what Huntley can do. I think we have a better idea. And also, there's a possibility Jackson's only going to miss one game. It's like 1 to 3 weeks. So it's not the Purdy one is harder because Purdy's going to play the rest of the regular season and probably the playoffs, but it's hard to tell.
Okay, let me cherry pick a couple teams. Where do you have the Buccaneers, who have been somewhat of an analytics darling?
Yeah, better than people think. We have Tampa Bay at 11.
Hmm. And then the obvious question, where I'm scared to even know, where do you have the Minnesota Vikings? 10-2.
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings. I do not like to use the phrase fraud. I like to use the phrase historically interesting.
That's very nice.
The Vikings are 20th in DVOA. They are the first team to ever be negative at 10-2. Like, no matter what stat you look at, whether it's an advanced stat from Football Outsiders or a conventional stat, there has never been a 10-2 team like this year's Minnesota Vikings.
Historically interesting. And you've been doing this for how long, Aaron? Or more appropriately, how far back do your ratings go?
I've been doing this for 19 years, and our ratings go back 42 years. So since 1981, they are the worst 10-2 team. The only team that even comes close to them is themselves, the 2000 Minnesota Vikings, the team that famously lost the NFC Championship game 41-0.
Yes, Kerry Collins and the New York Giants, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, DVOA, for those who are new to Football Outsiders, defense adjusted value over average, their proprietary stat that calculates team success based on the down and distance of each play during the season, calculated against how much more or less successful each team is compared to the league average. Okay, so we may have already answered this question, but is there another team that fits the bill besides the obvious two? Okay, which team are people perhaps way overrating? Because the betting market is not overrating the Vikings, right? But the conventional fan might be. But is there a couple other noteworthy teams in there for you that you think deserve a mention, either way, over or undervalued, based on conventional wisdom?
Vegas knows. I mean, Vegas knows. Look, the Giants are not as good as their record, 7-4-1. The difference is the Giants sort of ran out of horseshoe marshmallows in their box of Lucky Charms a couple weeks ago.
Yes, they did.
Whereas Minnesota, like, their box is nothing but horseshoe marshmallows. So they're just, the luck just is ridiculous. But I think at this point people know that the Giants are an average team, that this, despite the 7-4-1 record, that the Giants are not like a great team or anything.
First of all, great Lucky Charms knowledge, Aaron. That deserves to be mentioned. Where does a team like Seattle fall for you?
We have Seattle 10th right now. But they also they're interesting. The offense has faded a little bit in recent weeks, but their special teams are really good. Their defense is 20th. I think Seattle. I mean, look, the problem that Seattle and Tampa Bay have and San Francisco with Purdy is we just have Dallas and Philadelphia so much more ahead of the rest of the league. And Ben Baldwin has been tweeting a lot about this. The difference between the advanced stats sites and the market when it comes to Dallas and Philadelphia is kind of big. Like, we have Philadelphia or Dallas winning the Super Bowl much more often than the market. We feel that they are undervalued by the market.
That might be the single biggest point of all of this, isn't it? Right? We can, like, the Vikings is sort of the flashy thing up top on the marquee, but that's really the most interesting thing, I think, is that as good as the market rates the Eagles and Cowboys, you're way above that still. It's interesting.
Yeah, and we have the Eagles a lot above the market. ESPN has the Cowboys way ahead of the market. But combined, the two of them, like, despite the fact that they're the favorites to win the NFC, I think there's still value in putting down bets on Dallas and Philadelphia to win the NFC.
Is there a, I asked this of other people yesterday, but I'll ask it of you. Is there the proverbial, you know how the proverbial team you don't want to play in the postseason? Do you think of, I know that you don't necessarily think of teams that way based on numbers, but if you do sort of allow for some poetic license, who might those teams be in each conference?
Well, Cincinnati is kind of hot right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Cincinnati is higher in weighted DVOA than they are in regular DVOA. Cincinnati is just a much better team than they were a year ago. Like, they were an average team a year ago that managed a 10-7 record and then went on a run of close wins in the playoffs. This year, they are a much better team. They are 5th in offense and 11th in defense, and they are a dangerous team.
Kelly and I are both nodding our heads to that. That is exactly what happens.
I think people are falling into that trap of they want to say they're nothing this year because of what happened last year.
Right.
No, they're a much better team.
Much better. They banked those playoff wins. They got to the Super Bowl. God bless them. They're a much better team this year.
Right, they were building a team, and on the way to building a team, they managed to make it to the Super Bowl. But this is the team that they were building all along.
And the Titans, to you, are kind of meh?
Yeah, the Titans are 16th.
Yeah.
Like, they're there. They'll win their division.
They're there.
But this is like the Titans every year, man. I mean, they're always meh, but they win their division.
That's kind of the story. Okay, and based on the spreads for this week, what do you like best?
What do I like best for this week? I really like Miami. -3.5.
Okay.
I like Seattle -4, and I like the over 37.5 in San Francisco, Tampa Bay.
Ooh, all right.
Tampa Bay is the fastest paced offense in the league.
Well, that makes sense, right? With Tom Brady and the their strategy with no huddle. That makes sense.
Yeah, fast paced equals more points.
Yeah. Okay, when you come back at the end of the season before the postseason, let's have you back for two segments because we'll go through all your predictions before the season, how those worked out, what you think about the postseason, what do you think about next year based on the numbers. Tell everybody on the way out here what they can get at Football Outsiders, Aaron.
Yeah, footballoutsiders.com. If you go FO plus footballoutsiders.com/subscribe, you'll get picks against the spread. You'll get special premium film reviews. You'll get fantasy projections and all kinds of research stats, including our new one, Quarterback Stats by Direction.
Ooh, all right. Aaron, always fascinating. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you in a few weeks.
Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, at @FO_A_Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z.
Shoot the ball, Brazil.
Adam Burke next in studio.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem. That's a gambling problem. I don't know what I said. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. It was great to talk to Mikhail behind the scenes there, Kelly, for a moment. Mikhail, who, again, if you missed it, when producer number 8, Jeffrey Parlay, was here, producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers, We used to have a bit where Mikhail would talk about his F1 podcast. He would sit in that chair. We would have him physically sit in that chair. And as soon as I got bored, which was about 45 seconds into it, Parles would shoo him away. But there's going to be an F1 race here next year, so I would like to have Mikhail back, and I'll treat him with far more respect.
Oh, I am pumped for that F1 race next year. I believe tickets are already absurdly expensive.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
But I'm going to work my way into that somehow, Gil.
Mikhail, for those who don't know,
I'm sneaky.
Is a I'm going to botch this so bad. He,
I got it. Don't worry.
What is it?
He is from Indian origin.
Yeah.
Okay, so his parents are Indian. Born in Texas.
Raised in Dubai.
Raised in Dubai.
As an Englishman.
As an Englishman. Raised as an Englishman. He's very proud about that.
Love that kid. Nil-nil, Kelly. This is not going to happen for us.
Shoot the ball!
The one game where I don't go draw first half and full time.
Yeah, this is way worse for you than me, because you've been hitting draws on like every game.
What was I thinking? Just got too cute with it. Too much respect. So we'll see how this goes down.
I like how two non-soccer handicappers somehow arrive on the same bet, too, on a stupid Friday World Cup game.
Should have told us that a stupid World Cup game.
Sat here for an hour and 47 minutes with no goal.
In studio, kind enough to join us in studio, the glue, along with Wes Reynolds, they're both the glue that hold this whole operation together, noted more, I think, for more than anything, but he writes for about different sports, but more than anything for his fabulous baseball previews each and every year, it's the great Adam Burke. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. I'm here for a Grover Cleveland reference before 9 a.m. Big fan of that.
Big fan. That's what we do. By the way, two signings we didn't mention in baseball yesterday, towards the end of the big signing window here, the Mets, who apparently all these teams have an unlimited amount of money. Brandon Nimmo, 8 years, 162. Good gracious. And then David Robertson, 1 year, $10 million to re-sign both of those guys. Which brings us to if we can just touch on before we get to your football picks, a brief little baseball discussion, because I know your rage will build. But that report about the Goldilocks balls and how the different baseballs are being used, how outraged were you, sir?
I'm still incensed. In fact, I was supposed to write something about it over at VSiN.com. I talked with our VP of digital content, Ben Fox, and said, look, I need to write about this. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I need to write about this. This report came out on December 6th, and I still haven't been able to sit down and write about it because I'm so angry about what's happening in Major League Baseball. So for those that don't know, the backstory is that Meredith Willis, she's a astrophysicist. She's been testing baseballs for a long period of time, but she tested over 200 this year and found out that Major League Baseball is not only using two different balls, but using three different balls, including a lot of them during the postseason and during Aaron Judge's chase of being the American League home run king.
We just happen to have the graphic to make you even more mad.
Especially because you look at the big spike for the postseason and you got the Yankees mixed in there too, where my Cleveland Guardians played the New York Yankees. Yankees with a massive power advantage in that series. We knew that already, but add in the baseball, and that's kind of what you get. But, Gil, I mean, we can't say and use the language that we were using during the break to discuss this, but I've sat here for the last 3 days wondering, how am I supposed to bet into this market? Where they only tested 200 balls, there's probably 150 balls used in every game. I have no idea which ball a pitcher's throwing, in which game, in which environment. This is the only league that fundamentally changes the ball year in and year out anyway. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do now, because I'm always going to know in the back of my mind that I'll never know what baseball is being thrown on that pitch.
Your entire article should just be curse words. Just curse. Just get it out of you.
I don't know if I can get that past the editors, but that's what my discussions have been in private with people.
Major League Baseball, of course, just to be
thorough. Remember when they wanted integrity fees, too?
Oh, for sure. Look, he's getting very angry.
I'm angry.
Adam's getting very angry.
I'm so. And again, it's just like, and then even as a fan, right? Oh, I mean, obviously we're putting money on the line betting on these things.
Well, the home run chase, everything, right? Major League Baseball, we should say, denies all of this.
I don't know what's real and what's not anymore.
One more thing about the football game last night before we get to your picks. I didn't mention this in the first segment or at all, Kelly. Getting into the broadcast of it on Amazon, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, like this finish yesterday was spectacular. Did you feel like Al Michaels can't really drive up the excitement anymore at the end?
Yeah. Maybe I had my questions about that.
I didn't think it was like a good combo. And I think Herbstreit's just uncomfortable with him. Like if it was Fowler, he'd be his normal self. But I felt like that was just a little thing that I didn't love about
last night's finish. I'm just remembering something I meant to text you about three times yesterday and forgot.
Oh.
Three times. Did you watch it on Amazon Prime?
Of course.
Because it's on locally. Are you serious? The Raiders game.
Oh, I watched it on Amazon Prime.
I was
going
to tell you, switch to ABC so you can rewind.
Thanks for texting me, Kevin.
Sorry, I forgot about three times.
Yeah. Did Michaels just have Raiders minus six? He was upset about it?
Something must have happened because it was not like a Gus Johnson level kind of thing as we've come to expect for those moments. All right, what did you play this week, sir?
Well, tough NFL card, I think. But I do agree with Aaron Schatz, your previous guest, about Miami. I just, until Corey Linsley comes back for the Chargers and comes back at full strength, I will fade them. I mean, I know that he's an offensive lineman. He's not going to necessarily move the line, but he damn well should. He's a top two center in the NFL. They can't protect Justin Herbert without him, and they can't run the football at all, whether Lindsley's in the lineup or not. So I don't think the Chargers are able to keep up with the Dolphins in this game. Miami leads the league in yards per reception. They're second in yards per play. Chargers have had a bad defense all year long. You're on the fast track at SoFi. Miami stayed out west after playing the 49ers last week. And I kind of like that. Teams kind of get to, you know, be away from the families, just be with the boys, go to dinners, all that kind of thing. I think Miami absolutely rolls this week laying the three.
Chargers are... You know, I should actually amend this. I used to say Chargers were like one of the teams along with the Cardinals that I hate betting any game they're involved in because you never know what you're getting. I'm starting to figure out we kind of do know with both of these. They're just not very good, are they?
No, I don't think so. And look, I mean, there are other coaches we can pick on. Josh McDaniels, of course, being one of them. Mm-hmm. Also Nathaniel Hackett, ironically enough, both in the Chargers division. But as much as I love Brandon Staley and his stance on analytics and what he believes in on fourth down, I know that there have been injuries for the Chargers, but Justin Herbert's regressing, and in a big way. They need to rectify that this offseason to make sure that things don't go off the rails. And they also need to get more reliable players that aren't hurt all the time. But I'm really concerned about this Chargers offense, and obviously the defense just isn't good at all.
All right, what else do you like here, week 14?
Well, again, like I said, I think it's a really, really tough week overall. But, you know, one thing I do like here is I think that this is the week that Cincinnati figures out Cleveland.
I do,
you know,
too.
They have not been able to do that. The Browns have averaged 33.2 points per game since Kevin Stefanski took over. But if Deshaun Watson looks anything like he looked last week, and he probably will, how do the Browns keep up? How do they keep pace with a Cincinnati offense that has figured it out? The Browns did have five sacks in that Halloween game on Monday night, but I wouldn't expect that here from them. I think Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, and company make the adjustments that they need to. I think Cincinnati definitely wins this game comfortably, and I'm a little surprised to see it come off the six and go to 5.5 today.
Anything Army-Navy?
You know what? I wish I would have played Navy at a pick. I actually had Navy minus two in the game, and now they've pushed all the way out to minus three in this one. The total is just absolutely too low to play. I know it's been 16 straight unders, but it's just way too low to play at this point in time. I think our friend Brad Powers, who's a guest all over the network, mentioned that at the current total, 32.5, 33, game would be 9-7 to the over during that 16 straight under run. So the books have adjusted. It's not free money anymore. I don't have anything in that game, but obviously one of my favorite games to watch every year.
Always good to see you. Always, I won't say it's good to see you outraged, but I completely understand, man. Completely understand.
Wait, I got a pro tip for Adam.
Oh, okay. Kelly,
yeah,
with the
pro tip. Bet on sports where all games use the same ball.
Yes, I love it. That's fantastic.
All right, joke pro tip. Real pro tip. Consider a Pelicans bet in the Western Conference. One of the best defenses so far in the NBA and have plenty of offensive weapons to make them a real contender out West.
We get tweets. Dr. Randall Cusshot, out of curiosity, does Kelly go over 4.5 espresso shots cash today? French Rabbit, Public Enemy number one, epic middle-aged Jewish rapping. Thank you for bringing me back to the all-1980s Long Island bar mitzvah. You got it, buddy. and Buddhist Man. Gil, can you please send me the composite list of all sports betting pioneers so I can incorporate them into a single graphic in the future? Shout out to Aaron Schatz and Dr. Bob. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it very much.
Always good to be here.
You're on with Parlay to do an Ohio-based show.
Here. I am.
All right. Enjoy.
Result in the score.
What's I know. Extra time. I hate myself. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.